All right, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8 this morning. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. As Brother Burns said, don't let the word exam scare you off. For those who are coming to the day classes, just to keep in mind, that's just for you to, for them to help know where to place you in those particular classes. And I think he also mentioned some of the younger ones, some of the adults will help them read off and kind of know what they know and what they don't know. So even if they can't read real well, they'll know what to do with the little ones there as well. Okay. If you just plan on coming to the evenings, just come enjoy and learn some new songs, enjoy singing and praising the Lord together. All right. So this week, music school. Luke chapter 8 this morning, Luke chapter 8, going to title the message, God Speaking, God Speaking. Luke chapter 8. We'll begin here in verse 4, Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, truth of the Bible is that God speaks to people. He speaks to men. He speaks to women. And he wants to. God desires to speak to us. It's God's way of communicating. It's just difficult sometimes figuring out when he's talking to us. Is it him? What is he trying to say? And that's with everybody. Communications can be so misunderstood. Now, you know, for example, in a marriage relationship, communication. It makes a world of difference. I communicate clearly. I'm always clear on my side. That's what I thought. But she lets me know when I didn't say that. But I didn't remember what I said. These things get complicated, don't they? And listen, if we have those same problems in a marriage relationship between husband and wife and communications, same thing goes in the religious realms. You ever heard the preachers say, Well, God told me. Thus saith the Lord. I've seen a lot of those guys here recently. They always given us their you know, God spoke to them, and they've got this, you know, great wisdom of whatever it is on politics and Trump and what he's going to do. And then we never see anything happen. It makes me wonder, did God really talk to him? Was that really the Lord that said something? You know, sometimes that stuff is just foolishness, isn't it? But the fact is that God desires to speak to man. All of us. I mean, the Bible is a book of communication. It is the promises of God that he will take the word of God and speak to us. And sometimes it's not this audible voice that comes to you and all of a sudden the whole room shakes with what God just told you. I think that we think that would be easier. We think that if God were to holler at us and say, Hey, dummy, listen here, then we get it. You still wouldn't get it. But sometimes it's just difficult trying to figure out what he's trying to tell us. You know, in chapter 8, look at verse 8. Another fell on good ground, spring up and bear fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." What do you mean, ears to hear? We're all sitting here, and to my knowledge, all of us have ears. Now, some have might have something, a device in the inside that you could turn me off. But in general, we all have ears. So what does he mean we have ears to hear? I think it's more than just a physical ear. It's almost like that our attitude is what matters in hearing from God. An attitude. All across this room this morning, I've given this illustration before when it came to subject of spirits. But the fact is that in this room, there are multiple radio waves that are going through this room right now as we're here. You just don't have the right receptor to receive it. You'd be nuts if you did. You'd go crazy of all the sounds and everything coming at one time. But you got to have the right reception. In this parable, the sower is a picture of God. The seed, as he's given in the passage in verse 11, is a picture of the Word of God. And the soul is that presented to us as being this the soil. And it's a whole picture of our mind and our hearts. And it's the Word of God being planted in us by God. And then the ground is, how does it respond? And I think the key is an attitude. It's an attitude and a spirit. I think that's what he means when he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He said, "I speak to you this parable because," he said, "I'm just taking some of the things that some folks just don't need to know, and I'm going to give it parables so that you that want to know something, you'll get it." God's speaking. And God wants to communicate. But maybe the problem is not on God's side. Maybe it's on ours. And so today I'm going to pray and we'll seek God in Luke chapter 8. And how do we hear from God? And is our ground, which one is it in this passage? Let's pray. Father, sure, thank you for the time this morning to gather together. And Lord, the singing has been good already. As we just said, amazing love. Wow, what amazing love it was, God, that you would give us your Son as a sacrifice for our sins, so that as we're going to get into this passage, that you could communicate with us. And you gave us that receptor, and God, it's tied together with the Holy Spirit. And God, you didn't forsake us this morning, and you haven't forsaken anyone here. And so, Father, as we examine this passage of Scripture, as we look for answers, help us to see what our life is like as in regards to this parable, like the soil, that what kind of ground is it? Is it connected with our attitude? What is our attitude like? Because we're just trying to hear from you. And so, Father, I pray today that you take these things that I've got written down, give me the right spirit with it, and help me to give clarity with the passage and open our eyes and our ears. And as it says in the very passage, that we'd have ears to hear. And so, Father, give us those ears today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in the parable, he gives a picture of a man that goes out to his field to sow seed. Now, this is different than what we're used to. Jesus Christ takes something that everybody knew what it was. They had the picture in their own mind. They had seen it all the time in their culture. It's different for us. You go out and you see a guy, and his method is different, whether it is a large farm with a tractor, but it's not quite the same. This guy here, he would go out into his field, and he's prepared his ground in certain area, and what he does is he's got this knapsack, this bag around him, and he reaches down in this bag, and it's got seed in there. And he reaches in there with his hand, and as he grabs that seed, he grabs a clump of it, and he begins just to broadcast it out as he goes across the field. And then he reaches in there, and he's slowly walking across there, and he's throwing more, and he reaches in there, and he casts more. It's a different concept. We might have made rows and mounds, and we brought the tractor through and the tiller. That's not the case here. And so he's reaching in, and he's grabbing, and as he's dispersing it, the Bible's telling us that this seed falls on certain types of ground. And in this passage here, he gives us four types. Now, but it's not four types of people. Rather, it's four types of attitudes. It's four types of soil or ground that when the word of God, and that's the idea in verse 11, see there, now this is the parable is this, here's the interpretation, the seed is the word of God. So as the seed, the Bible, the scriptures, are being put out to people, based on your attitude and my attitude, you could be one of these four, not of people, but of types of ground or soil. So this morning, as we look at these four types, I want to point out to you some of our attitudes. And how do we hear from God? We want God to speak to us. We want the Word of God to give us instruction in our life or whatever issues that we might be dealing with. And so as Christ takes His common method, He's teaching something to us about the heart. Look down at verse 15. He says, which is an honest and good heart. And that's what we desire. We want to have a good and honest heart. Now, I know you've heard preachers, and I myself have preached it, in the book of Jeremiah, you say the heart is deceitful, and it's wicked, and who can know it? God can. God can. And listen, you're not so depraved that you can't have a good heart. Now, this world looks at that, and they go, well, I just feel it, or, you know, I my heart's drawn. And they, listen, they don't have the Spirit of God. They're not in the Word of God. They're not guided by His Spirit. And I really doubt that they got a good heart when it comes down to that. But you can have a good heart, and you can have an honest heart. And I think that's where we want to get to in the passage. But to get to that, well, here's the first thing. You've got to cultivate an open mind. In this passage, to hear God communicate to you, you've got to till up some ground and have the soil ready and cultivate an open mind. Look at verse 5 again. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, just fell down. And he says, and it was trodden down, got stepped on, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Skip down the passage into verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So you must want something from God. Here's what it is. You better want to hear from God when you walk into church. Listen, if you walk into church and you don't have any desire to hear from God, you won't hear from Him. And, but now listen, no Christian is going to blame yourself. No, you don't do that. You don't walk into church and not hear and walk out going, well, I didn't get nothing from God today because I didn't pray for it. No. I know how this works. He's always preaching about money. Listen, I got this thing figured out 15 years ago. I'm the bad guy whether I like it or not. Okay, it's always the preacher's fault. So I'll just go ahead and say, it's my fault. But listen, if you walk in and your mindset is not, it's Brother Jeremy's fault, or it's a church, or how dare they talk to me that way, but you walk in and say, God, I need something from You today. God, I'm seeking You, and I'm going to listen for You, and I'm going to cultivate an open mind. God will help you. He'll help you. And you got to have it ready. But it said here that some seed fell by the wayside. So as he reaches out in there and he grabs that seed and he pulls it out, you know how it is, and some fell right there. You ever seen one of those paths on the side of the road where there was no concrete sidewalk, but everybody walked there? And there's grass around it, but there's a path about like this that's nothing but dirt, and it's packed. If you go down there to in the Slidell, and you see where the ones that always, you know, they have the cardboard signs, they have a little path. That's the wayside. You're not going to grow anything on the wayside. It's packed down, and it's trodden by the feet of men. It's hard. And some people's hearts and minds, their soil, their ground is trodden. Sometimes by the things of the world. And when they reach in there and the seed hits it, it's so compacted, it makes no connection. It makes no connection. You see why? It wasn't prepared to receive it. That'd be a sad situation that you walk into church today. I mean, you got dressed and you got a shower, you got cleaned up, and you sprayed with perfume to smell good, and you walk in here and your heart and your mind and your attitude is trodden down. Can I just say, could we agree? Don't blame me. I didn't walk all over you this week. I got enough problems on my own. I didn't add to yours. Could you just be honest and up front and say, I didn't get anything because it's my fault. I watched too much TV. I spent too much time with the problems. Whatever it was, it trodden things down. And your mind wasn't made up to receive something or to be changed or let the seed begin to do something in you. You say, why? Because we weren't ready to cultivate it. Now, why aren't we ready to cultivate it? What is it that makes our life and our mind and our soul as this ground? What makes our attitude where I don't receive it? And because, see, you're all sitting here and you hear me because you smile. I see your reactions, but sometimes it just goes. Pride sometimes says, I don't need that. He's talking to them, not me. You look to God and say, God, I don't have that need in my life. I got it all under control. I'll decide what I want to do. He's not going to tell me how to run it. That's pride. You know what you've done? You've just trodden it down a little bit more. Fear. Fear will not allow you to cultivate your soil, your ground, and till it up and get it ready. What will people think if I did that? What would my family say? What would they say if they heard me do that? You ready for a third one? Bitterness. You know, folks, we live in a sin-cursed world. I wish that we could say as a Christian, you'll never have problems. I wish we could say that your parents and your loved ones would live forever in this life. I wish we could say that, but it's not reality. I wish that all your problems of family members and the things that they're dealing with, I wish they'd all go away. And I mean, well, maybe the family go away, but the problems. It'd be nice if it all departs. I trust Jesus. I read my Bible today. And all the problems and the issues are just gone. But it's not reality because people still have choices. And sometimes their choices are just foolish. And then for centuries, people have made choices that affect you and I unbeknownst to us. From spraying pesticides and chemicals and you wind up with cancer and you say, well, I didn't do anything. No, but you're in a sin-cursed world. And all these choices, and yeah, you could get bitter. You could blame it on God. But God wasn't the one that made the choice. And He never made anybody do wrong. So we lose a loved one. Someone experiences abuse, whether physical or verbal. You've been wronged and mistreated. Someone betrayed you. They hurt you. Don't blame God. Don't blame Him. These are the things that just make heaven a little sweeter. Because one day I don't have to deal with this stuff. But I tell you this, if you just get mad at God, if you raise your hand to the heavens and say, if you loved me, this wouldn't happen, you got wayside. Well, the heart, the soil gets kind of trampled down. And then when you say, God, talk to me, He says, I've been trying. But you can't hear it because your attitude stinks. The wayside. See that seed that falls on the wayside? It falls on the ground that's hardened. And you know what it does not do? It does not produce fruit. But again, it's the preacher's fault. So I'll take the hit. But what if you decided that you were going to cultivate an open mind, a good attitude? You just might get something from church. Well, then you'd have to admit the preacher was right and you were wrong. So just keep it on the wayside. Well, let's look at the second one, verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Look down at verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Number 2. Set time to listen. Set time to listen from God. You want God to communicate to you? Have an open mind. I don't mean new age, like, oh, everything's good. No, I mean just say, God, would you speak to me today? And number 2, give Him some time. You make time for all sorts of things. You do. You have a schedule tomorrow. Whether it is to show up at music school a certain time and to what time you're going to have to leave the house and you've blocked it off and it's on your calendar, or it is to go to work or to pull out this afternoon and get things ready for work, or vacation is coming up, or whatever it is, you put things on a calendar. Why not put God on a calendar? I mean, he kind of helped you out. He said, I'll have a day set aside, and I'll call a man to be a preacher, and they'll call it a church, and you could have a, we could get God's communication every Sunday. Wow. What a profound thought. But we set aside all sorts of things for God, don't we? Or should I say for ourselves, that rocky ground. It's rocky ground, and it's what it means is, it's, I think we view it as being, it's got lots of rocks in it, but that's not the case. What he means is that this ground is full of rock. Like, you go down 3 inches, and it's rock. So you've got about 3 to 4 inches of soil, topsoil, and then you dig. Now, we're not used to this. Think of it like this. You can make an analogy somewhat. You go down to 3 or 4 inches past your topsoil, and you hit clay, and it's like rock. And you're going to have to, we would have to bust that up and to loosen that clay to make that plant begin to really grow good. Now imagine that 3 to 4 inches down, it's now rock. That's the Bible picture. And so as this seed hits the ground, and maybe the topsoil, it looks pretty good, but it can't get root. And if it doesn't have root, if it can't get a good structure, well, when the sun comes out, it dries it up. And it looked good. It looked good on the surface, and yet no moisture, and it lacks what it needs in the soil. Matthew chapter 13 speaks about the same parable, and he talks about the same type of soil, but yet we don't set time aside. Here, for example, let me give you this. Last Wednesday night's message, if you were here, those that listened to me, you have forgotten 90% of what I said. Facts are this: 90% of what you hear, you forget it in 72 hours. You don't even remember what I said Wednesday night. You remember a tenth of it. So you're only going to recall, are you ready? You're only going to recall 10% of what I'm saying today, Wednesday night. These are facts. These are facts with people. Now watch how we could increase hearing, not just from God, but just in general, learning in life, retention rates. If you listen, you'll retain 5% of what you heard. Just listening. So if you just listen to the message, you'll retain 5% for some of you. Some of you, if you read along with me and you follow in your Bible, you will retain 10% of what you heard. Now we're climbing a little bit. If you are audio and visual, so you're looking at something and you're listening to something now it increases to 20%. You'll possibly retain 20% with audio and visual. If I gave a practical illustration, an object lesson, I demonstrate it, it now increases your retention to 30%. You say, preacher's fault again. If you would just make it visual and have object lessons every service, we'd be 30% church. I know. I'll take the hit. Now, here's where it begins to change and drastically increase. If you discuss and have a discussion of what you heard and saw, you now go to 50% to retain what you heard. You mean like we're supposed to leave church and talk about what we heard? Wow. I mean, you know, for some of you, maybe you drive home by yourself. Talk to yourself. It won't be the first time. So, what did he say today? Well, he told me, at least you'll entertain the person beside you at the traffic light. If you're riding with somebody, I was telling one of the brothers this week, I said, you have a longer distance going home. About the time I say, so how did Sunday school go today? We're home. So our travel time is a little shorter than most folks, but if you'll discuss and talk about the message, your kids could retain 50% of what they heard. You might even retain 50% of what you heard. So I just came to hear from God. Would you like to retain 50% of the message? Let's keep going. They say that if you practice what you heard, you'll increase your retention to 75%. You mean you actually expect me to do that stuff? I really do. I think that there's some Christian that come to Heritage Baptist, man, they're excited, they're learning stuff, and they'll say, I have never been in church, and I learn all this stuff. I've never heard that before. And then in about 3, 4, 5 months down the road, whatever it is, it's like the light bulb goes off, and they go, okay, and I'm learning, but he actually expects me to live like that? No way, I'm leaving. Like, yeah, God expected you to put it into practice. And if you put it into practice, the world said on a lecture, you'll retain 75%. Are you ready for this? One more. If you'll take what you learn and you're practicing, all this stuff together, and you'll teach somebody else, guess what the retention is? 90%. 90% retention. So if you were all spiritual and loved Jesus, you'd get my notes at the end of the service and teach your whole family. I don't mean it that way. What I mean is, what if we just took the things of Christianity and the Bible and we hear it and we put it into practice and then we begin to teach? I didn't say you had to teach Sunday school class or Wednesday night class. But I promise you, there's somebody that comes your path this week and they say, man, I don't know what I'm doing with problems in life. And you say, hey, can I tell you what the preacher said this week? And you know what you're doing? You're teaching somebody. You're passing on what you heard. And you'll retain in your life. It says there that they received the word with joy in verse 13. They got all excited about what they heard, but they had no root. Excitement. Well, it doesn't really prove much, does it? You ever seen somebody get all excited? Oh, I've seen it. They're excited about church. It didn't say a whole lot. They're excited about their new job. Where are they 3 months down the road? Some even enter into marriages, and if they have as much excitement about the wedding day, and they put that effort and money, which is outrageous, the amount of money they spend, and put that into the marriage, it might actually work. Well, look at verse 7. So what do I need to do? I need to cultivate with an open mind. I ought to set aside some time. Church is a good way to do it, right? Bible reading. Well, look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Skip down to verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Let me give you a third point. You want to hear from God? You want an open mind? You set some time aside so he can speak to you? Erase distractions. Listen, don't try to read your Bible on your phone. I know you have good intention. I'm not questioning your intention. You see, but yeah, it's just convenient. But here's what happens. You'll begin to read your Bible on that Bible app, and then she texts. And so you'll click it and go read the text. Respond to that, and now you're back to the Bible. And then the news comes across it. And then it dings. You know what I mean? Yeah. Listen, I've never had to sit there reading chapter 8 and go, and get rid of notifications. I don't have to, and the battery don't go dead. It doesn't go in power mode. It doesn't even ring. Get a physical book. You remember I went through all those listen, read, and I didn't say it, but when you write something down, it increases the retention. How many of you have read your Bibles? And as you read your Bible, a week down the road, you were, I remember reading something about that. And you think, okay, I remember I was in this book, and I think it was on the right-hand side of the page. You know what you did? Because it is something that is physical, and it's literal, your brain attached a memory with it. The studies show that with digital devices, individuals that take notes and keep a calendar digitally do not remember and retain the same way as if you physically write it on a calendar. Now, I keep both. Because that way, when it shows on my calendar, it shows on her calendar. I understand technology in that respect, and it's great. But when the phone gets it messed up sometimes, and that's happened, then I can still look at something and say, it's right here. Some of you hear me joke about writing like notes of what I've got to do for the day. You ought to physically write it down. You'll retain what you have to do on your to-do list more than you will on a digital type it in. Now, what about the Bible? Listen, if the world's got that figured out, why would we be swayed to be pulled into a digital society and get away from books that men died for to put in your lap that you're sitting there with this morning? So what if we erased distractions? What if our lives were really, honestly full of clutter and we just decided that we're going to remove a distraction? We're just going to say it needs to go and I'm going to have some things of importance. Have you ever worked outside in the yard before and maybe decided to do that ungodly deed of pulling weeds? And I always love it when Miss Jamie has great ideas and aspirations of how we are going to fix up the flower bed. And she'll tell you that she doesn't like pulling weeds. I don't like pulling weeds either. That's not, you say, how do I do it? I use a weed eater. Yeah. And you just grind them suckers down. Because I figure if you drive by my house, it'll look good from the road. If you walk up the house, I promise you, you'll see more than weeds. It'll look like a daycare gone bad. And it is what it is. And so when you plant things, I want them to bloom without me having to do anything. But out there in that flower bed, I've got some thorns. And you ever try to think, well, I'm going to grab it without a pair of gloves? And you thought, I tried that last year. Why did I do it again? Have you ever gotten into that kind of work and you start grabbing a hold of it and you come out of that thing and if you look at somebody's hands, it looks like a cat fight. Now, the other day I was working with some metal and when I came to church, I thought my hands looked like I was beating the kids and they were all scratched up, and that's what thorns will do. Let me ask you, if you'd walked up to me and you saw my hand sitting there, in your mind you would have thought, I wonder what scratched him. So you would have noticed that, right? I mean, I didn't hide it. I didn't put makeup on it and try to disguise this. It was just what it was. Some of you go in the world and you play around with thorns. And you walk in on Sunday morning and you think that nobody can tell. We know when you've been in the world because you've got scratch marks all over you. Do you see that picture? You see, I'll put a mask on, but we see your hands. I'm making a spiritual analogy here because those thorns are the cares of the world. So you can tell us, oh, brother, I'm praying for God to give me peace. You've been on social media all week. You were talking about how worried you were. See the thorns? Do you see them? Can you see the scratch marks? I'm trusting the Lord. Well, but you went out and got a loan to take care of the problem. I see the thorns. I'm just trusting God to take care of the matter. Well, then why did you have to have a railing text message to tell them your side of the story? I see the thorns. I see the scratch marks. Do you see what I mean? You can't hide those things. The fool only thinks he's hiding it. One guy told me one time, he said, you can only con a con artist. So if you think you got everybody fooled, then you're only fooling the fool. The individuals that say, that's a thorn, and it scratches you up, and when you walk out and we see your scratch marks, we go, cares of the world. Vance Havner, an old preacher years ago, he said, worrying is like a rocking chair. You work all day and get nowhere. Oh, how true is that? How many of you are worried about something? Have you ever read that Matthew chapter 6 and Jesus Christ gets in the Sermon on the Mount and he says, take no thought for tomorrow. Remember that? And he keeps going through the whole passage and he talks about the birds of the air and how God clothes them. And he says, take no thought, no thought, no thought. No. You know what your biggest problem is? What you think about. You get yourself all worried about tomorrow, and tomorrow hadn't even happened yet. You hadn't even gotten through today. And you're worried about tomorrow. But you know how he started that passage? Are you ready? It's a famous verse, and you know it. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other. And then he started preaching about your thought life, about daily cares and worries. You say, well, money doesn't have a control over me. Oh, it does. It's a master. And it becomes a master to you because you're worried about tomorrow and what are you going to provide and do for, and it has a tug. And no, it's not physical shackles, and no one goes down to the bank and gets stuck there and can't get out. But it has a draw and a pull that says if you just earn some more, you'll be happy. And if you'll just get this, it'll take care of this. And if you'll come over here, and it's a master, and no man can serve two masters. Cares of the world. In this passage, there's three types of weeds and thorns. In the verse here, there's cares. That's worries. Daily problems, life issues. You can't pray and worry at the same time. You can't pray and worry at the same time. And worry distracts you. Brother Andrew, he commented a couple weeks ago, he made a statement that just kind of struck me. We were dealing with something in our own personal lives, and he made a statement to me. He said, and don't even pray about it. I was like, what? Don't even pray about it? And in this situation, he said, don't even pray about it, because the more you pray about it, it just keeps you stirred up. Basically, it's in God's hands. He's in control of it. Some of you disguise your worry as prayers. And all you're doing is just worrying. You didn't really give it to God. You say, what is it? Just thorns you're playing around with. Riches. In the passage in verse 14, he said there, they're choked with cares and riches. So when the seed, it comes your way, and the word of God comes your way, you're saying, God, communicate to me. I want to hear from you. You can't hear him because you're too worried about something. And you can't hear from him because the riches, stuff, gets in the way. And pleasures, the fun overshadows the spiritual, and churches have become a place of entertainment, not a place to hear from God. And vacations are more important than hearing from God. Weeds and thorns, distractions keep you all away from the time with God that God could communicate to you. You ever notice you never have to go outside in that front flower bed and fertilize the weeds to get them to grow? You don't even have to pull weeds to make weeds grow. Like, they're just weeds. And they come up. It's the stuff you want to grow, you've got to cultivate. It's what you want to do something, you've got to work at. Oh, but weeds. You can neglect weeds, and they'll still grow. And if you neglect the weeds, they'll choke out you hearing from God. See, it's an attitude. And how do I get this? Well, lastly, you got to say, I'm going to decide to do something when I hear from God. Look at verse 15. He says, but on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See, God, I'm committed. If you'll speak to me, you'll talk to me, I promise I'll do something with it. I want to respond to it, God. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not just what? Hearers only. See, I want to hear it, but I want to do something with it. Some of you are spoiled. Actually, I'd say all of you are spoiled. Especially our kids of our church are spoiled rotten when it comes to spiritual things. You get good music training and vacation Bible schools and different events, and you are spoiled with spiritual things. Some of you adults were not even raised in church. Some of you that were churches that you were at were just so self-centered, and you never got taught the Bible, and you never got encouraged. And I was thinking about the other day, I thought, you know, people call up occasionally, don't get it a whole lot, and they'll say, well, what does your church have to offer my family? Well, we have all sorts of stuff to offer. We can teach you how to raise rabbits and slaughter them. We can teach you welding, and we can show you how to join things of metal together. We can teach you first aid in class and get your kids to use how to use tools on a Wednesday night. You Come on now. You tell me that if that's the standard average church in Picayune, and then we were going to advertise what we've got to offer you. Oh, you want to go on a mission trip? You want to raise some money for missions? You want to give more to God? And we've got things for the family. We've got that stuff too. We got family camp. We have lots of fun, vacation Bible school. If you haven't been around for one of those, just hold on. Here it comes. But we're not trying to advertise, but you know what? You're spoiled. But what are you going to do with what you've been given? See, now you're responsible to do something with what you've got. Now, if you hear all that and you say, I don't want to go down that road, then I'm going to just tell you what the best way to handle it. You need to leave today and say it's Brother Jeremy's fault. And you just blame it on me and go ahead and go. And it'll ease your conscience and you can go out there and never really hear from God and never really get trained and developed. I don't mean I'm the answer. But you just walk away from it and just find a church that's dead. They're a dime a dozen, I promise you. And they'll have all their, and they don't have Bible studies, as we said Wednesday night, they have Bible scrambles. And my Bible reads it this way, and my Bible reads it this way. And you can deceive yourself in thinking you really learned something. But if you're really wanting to hear from God, and you're sitting there and you say, all right, but preacher, what is it? Then when God speaks, a good and honest heart would say, God, if you tell me something, I want to put it into place. I want to do something with it. What if you just started today rereading your Bible? What if you said today, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to be in church on a Sunday night. Now, listen, I don't say this. I'm not throwing my brother-in-law under the bus. But when he first got saved, he came from a Roman Catholic background. And some of you have heard my story. And he'll tell you, too, we had the hardest time to get him to come on Sunday nights. And finally, he admitted why he wouldn't come Sunday night. He did not understand why we would go back to church on a Sunday night and hear the same message again. Now, I never thought about that because I wasn't raised that way. To me, every service was different. But to let you know, every service is different around here. You want to learn your Bible? Wednesday nights, we go through the book of Acts. This week, I know it's music school. It's something unique and different. And you've got all sorts of avenues to learn. You might come and actually discover that you know how to sing. You might discover that you do not know how to sing. You might discover that the piano is your best friend and it hides a multitude of sins. And I love the piano player. I tell people, I said, if church was important, then why did God call me? I don't mean me. I mean any preacher. Why would God call a preacher to get up on various services and teach the Bible? Is it just for fulfillment for me, or is it a calling for the people of God? Could I challenge you? If you want to hear from God, you want him to communicate to you? Find a service you don't come to and say, I'm going to go. Come on a Wednesday night. Tonight's message, I'll give you a heads up, financial burdens. Is there financial burdens in our country right now? Can I help you tonight eradicate some excuses? So now we're going to find out who shows up. What if you got rid of your distractions? Some of you have good intentions. You're going to read your Bible during the week. Well, put the phone on silent. Put it on a timer for 10 minutes. I say you ought to read longer. But if you're not reading at all, 10 minutes is a long time. And silence it for 10 minutes. Tell the kids to do something. Stay away. Get rid of distractions of internet. Find some time that you can set aside and say, God, would you talk to me? Maybe decide to serve him. I'm going to make my mind up. I'm going to put into action exactly what he wants me to do. God, you speak to me. And I want to cultivate an open mind. I want to set aside some time to hear. I'm going to erase my distractions. I'm going to decide to be a doer of the word in my life. These things are pretty basic. Actually, I know that probably 99% of you have all heard the parable of the seed and the sower before. You knew the story. But I'd say that good 99% of us fall short and not putting in place or not paying attention. And sometimes our hearts and our attitudes are wayside or stony ground, and it's just not good soil. And you know what we need to do is just to be reminded. I want to hear from you, God. Let's pray. Father, sure, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, to be here once again to open the Word of God. Lord, I'm not quite sure. I've got ideas. I know what some of these folks have dealt with. And my guess is there's probably somebody this morning that's dealing with trials of life, troubles, situation. They walked in this room. Preacher doesn't even know it. Person beside him doesn't know it. But the Holy Spirit moved in and said, what's the soil? What's the attitude of your heart? Altar's good, Father. It's a good place to come and get some things resolved. But what really matters is when we walk out of here, will we take these four areas and cultivate a good ground? Will we get rid of some of these distractions? Will we set aside some time? Will we decide to do something with what we got? God, I sure hope we do. That's the prayer this morning. And so, Father, I pray that there's be some things to be left at the altar, be left right where they're sitting, and mentally as they leave this building today, that we'd hear from you. That's what we desire. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would stand with me this morning as the piano begins to play, I'll give you just a few moments. Maybe you need to come to the altar this morning. Maybe right where you're at, just say in your own mind and to God, my attitude hasn't been what it needs to be. I haven't heard from you in a while. I need a good ground. Let me get rid of some distractions, Father. Help me to see things, and let me have ears to hear, eyes to see. God, help my attitude.